Morning, we are going to quickly look at prayer. We are going to look at what? Prayer. You see, one of the first things that mark backsliding is when we are beginning to lose quality prayer with God. When our prayer life starts to suffer, it's often a mark of or the beginning of backsliding. And you will know, and because a whole lot of times, many of us wait until we actually start to sin. You know, maybe somebody falls into adultery, fornication, or stealing, lying, and so on. We say that's when they are backsliding. Or some of us will actually wait until somebody says there's no God before we notice they are backsliding. One of the earliest markers of backsliding is lack of quality prayer time. Having said that, I want to believe that one of the areas where we can improve on and do better than where we are doing what we are doing right now is our prayer lives. And by the grace of God, we are going to witness a revival in that area of our lives today in Jesus' name. I actually intended to write Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. That is the passage I want us to read this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. And I will read. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men always men ought always to do what? To pray. And not to do what? To faint. So what is the Bible telling us there? The Bible is saying that we are either praying or we are giving up. We are fainting. Men ought always, not occasionally, not ceremonially, not only in the church, not only when we have made special arrangement of our bedroom, not only when certain people are there, men always ought to pray and not to do what? To faint and not to give up and not to lose hope. That's what it means. Saying, there was in a city a judge which fear not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What a powerful question. Let me quickly take one or two points from the passage we read. He said, there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. Do you know the implication of what we read here? Somebody had a right. She was deprived of her right. That's what it meant. What rightly belonged to her was taken from her. She was insulted. She was pulled down. All sorts of wrongs were done her. Instead of simply folding her arms and say, look, the devil has victory on this one, she said, she went to the judge and said, avenge me. What God is saying to us is this, as children of God, when things are not the way they ought to be in our lives, we must not stop praying to God until we see the glory of God instituted and put in place in our lives. The woman would not keep quiet. She knew her right. As children of God, do we know our rights before God? Remember that Jesus is giving this as an example of prayer. Do we know our right before God? Do we know where we ought to be? What we should be doing? Are we in the place we ought to be and doing what we ought to be doing? Or is the enemy depriving us of some of the good things, the blessings of God that should be part of our lives? Go to God today and say, Father, put me where I ought to be. That is what Jesus, the principle Jesus is teaching us. Hey, don't faint until you see that result come. Don't faint. I think I will leave that there, because my desire this morning is not to go beyond 10:30 with the Sunday school. Wherever we get to, we'll stop. We are going to start managing our times better now. Praise God. So what is prayer? We have here that prayer is the act of man communicating with God. It is also the offering up of spiritual sacrifice. Can we quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5? It is offering up of spiritual sacrifice, a duty of the holy priest through Jesus unto God. Remember, in Hebrews, the Bible says, for every priest has something to offer unto God. And if we say that indeed we are the chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we are priests unto our God, the Almighty God, we need to be offering something. If you remember in the time of Moses, in the temple of God, what happens is this, there was always an offering going on any time of the day. So the priest must have something to offer. It's a spiritual sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Can somebody read? First Peter 2, 5. Amen. To do what? To offer what? Spiritual sacrifices. Our prayers are sacrifices. It's no longer those days that they used to slaughter rams, goats, turtle doves, and what have you. Jesus has paid the price once and for all. Ours is to enter into the Holy of Holies. He said, for you are the living stones, the high priest of the Almighty God, to offer spiritual sacrifice through Jesus to God. That is what your prayer is. And God is waiting for it. He wants it. He desires your prayer. Underlying prayer is the realization that God has influence and power to bring about changes in the affairs of man. Because in Luke 1:37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The reason that we go to God is because we believe that with him nothing shall be impossible. Because the Bible said, for those who come to him must believe that he is God. He said, without faith it is impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is God. You know? Praise the Lord. He is the yea and the amen. So it goes without saying that prayer is a two-way communication involving speaking and listening on both parts. Just like you listen for the voice of God, God also listens to the prayer of his people. Can we look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12? God is listening. He wants to listen to your prayer. Just like he wants you to also listen for his voice when you pray. 1 Peter 3:12. Let's read quickly. Okay. The eyes of the Lord are what? On the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers. God's ears are open. God is waiting to hear your voice. That time that we are snoring, God is waiting to hear our voice. He wants us to cry out to him. When everyone else is sleeping, God wants to hear your voice. Your voice of praise, your voice of thanksgiving, your voice of, you know, he wants you to invite him into that situation. He's waiting. A lot of people will say, God can see my situation. Doesn't God know what I'm going through? But the Bible says his ears are open. He's waiting. He wants to hear your voice. It's a two-way communication. And I can tell you, when he hears your voice, he will also speak to you. He will also speak to you. Praise the Lord. So children, please be quiet. Praise God. Good. You are also hearing the Bible teaching. Because God in particular loves the prayer of children. He said, let the children come unto me. Because for such is the kingdom of God. They are. He wants to hear your prayer, children. Jesus wants to hear your prayer. He wants you to pray for your parents. He wants you to pray for your school. He wants you to pray for your friends. He particularly loves their voices because they are so innocent. Praise the Lord. Good. So listen, so you will know how to pray, because God is waiting to hear your prayers, children. So quickly listen to me. God wants you to pray. Who are those to pray? Children are to pray. Moms are to pray. Dads are to pray. Sisters are to pray. Brothers are to pray. Everyone is to pray. Can somebody look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8? God desires that what? That we should pray. Men should pray where? Everywhere. Lifting up holy hands. Without doubting. God is desiring that we pray. Our prayer, the types of prayer we pray may from time to time vary. I may be different from the other person depending on where we are at or how God is ministering to us. But God desires that we pray. In fact, everything that has breath should pray. Praise Him. Because praising Him is a form of prayer. That's why I say praise, praise Him. It is a must for the saints to pray to the Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. Revelation 5:8. Let's be quick. Praise the Lord. So, there's a bank for your prayer in heaven. There is a bank for your prayer in heaven. He wants you. He wants the prayer of saints. God loves them. Can we look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 and 9? Even though I said to us that all men should pray to God, there are some exceptions. Let's be quick. Proverbs 15, 8 to 9. The sacrifice of the wicked is what? Is an abomination to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is what? His delight. What does it mean to delight in something? Makes him happy. Yes? The way of the wicked. What's the way? The lifestyle of the wicked is what? Is an abomination. It gets God angry. Praise God. He loves him that follow after righteousness. But the wicked, the way of the wicked, his lifestyle, he's going out, he's coming in, displeases the Lord. Your life will not displease God in Jesus' name. You will be a delight to him. You see, the prayer that the wicked can pray is the prayer of salvation. After he has prayed the prayer of salvation, God will begin to delight in his other prayers. If he has not prayed the prayer of salvation, he may hallow, he may pay prophet. You know, some people even pay prophet to fast for them, to pray for them, and do all sort of things. The first prayer that anyone who come to tell you to pray for him and they are not born again, the first prayer you pray for them is that God will take over their lives. And then you can pray other prayers. It's very crucial because God delights in the prayer of the righteous. But that of the unrighteous is what? Is an abomination. So what are we to pray for? Many of us say, look, when we start praying, we run dry. We don't have... some people will say, how come some people can pray for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes? What do they have to say? They just pray. I remember when I was much younger, we were attending the Apostolic Church. How many of us have attended the Apostolic Church here? In those days, you know what they used to do? When they want to pray, in the prayer meeting, they would say five sisters to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. They are not just saying to pray. Five sisters pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Five brothers to pray a prayer of this. And when people begin to thank God, when people open their mouths to start to thank God, some people will pray a prayer of thanksgiving. They can pray for 1 hour without mentioning the same thing twice. When they search their life, they know that there's much to thank God for. We can never exhaust the list. What I do, often say is this: when you see somebody who has nothing to pray for, who says, look, I get exhausted. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Good. If the person is not selfish, have you prayed for your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters? Have you prayed for the country? Have you prayed for your pastor? Have you prayed? Look, there are many, many. What about the whole thing happening around you? Some things are going on that should grieve a child of God. It is only people who pray just about themselves that have nothing to pray for. So once they pray to God, God provide money, and God has provided money, they stop praying to God. Once they say, God provide me a house, God provides a house, they don't pray anymore. I'm conscious of time. So we are to pray as a mark of worship. That is the first thing. Like I told us, in our prayers, we thank God. We thank God. We pray for the expansion of the kingdom and against temptation. Matthew 26:41. We also pray for servants of God, those in authority, and that God's will be done. We ought to include the sick, those in captivity. How many people can tell me the biggest prison on earth, in this world, the name of the biggest prison? The name of the biggest prison. So you don't know the name of the biggest prison? Okay, sin, bondage. Okay, I will tell you the biggest prison today. The largest prison in this world is named the mind. When you say something is impossible in your mind, it will never be possible in reality. Let's not just pray. You see, the official distance is like that, so let's not bother. It will never be possible to you. A lot of people are imprisoned by their mind, the thoughts of their mind. That is what the biggest prison. The day God opened your eyes to see the possibility of God, that's all. Your mind becomes, look, you begin to contemplate. Some people will actually think you are mad. The kind of things that you'll be seeing and aspiring to. People will say, look, the mind is the biggest prison. Once God sets your mind at liberty, isn't it the prison? It will be the one. Look, the mind is the one that will suggest things to you and say, that is this, that is that, when it is not the reality. It's the mind. It's the biggest prison. It's the one that says the power of God, it's no longer so anymore. The world has changed. The mind is the biggest prison, and God will set us free in Jesus' name. By my watch, I have 3 minutes. I really want to discipline myself. How you are to pray? We can pray individually and collectively. Collectively, we must pray in unity. Can we read Acts 1:14? Somebody quickly. And continually, Acts 6:4. Can somebody read Acts 1:14? Another one, 6:4. And James 5:16. Quick readers. Yes. They continue in one accord in prayer and in supplication. They continue in unity, in one accord, aiming for the same thing. Let me tell you, when we walk like that, this, no devil can stand us. What did I say? No devil can stand us. When we come together in unity and we start to pray and we follow God in line with what we are praying, nothing can stop us. Yes? Mm-hmm. spend their time in prayer and teaching the word. Praise the Lord. Another version says continually, you know, continually offer themselves for prayer. And James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It. Praise the Lord. Effective, fervent, continuous prayer of the righteous does miracles. It achieves a lot. That's what the Bible is telling us. And lastly, we must be ready to pray in any, you know, any version you know how to pray. Pray in the tongue, pray in the spirit, pray in understanding. We can pray with a vow, you know. We pray with fasting. We pray setting ourselves aside. We pray in silence. He said, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I'm God. You know, we praise him. We worship him. We, you know, all manners of prayers. And what should be our attitude to prayer? And that's the last thing here. It should be a way of life. Prayer is to be desired and valued because it is one way to stay in the presence of God. We must expect result from prayers we offer unto God. And I've seen this happen a lot of times. Christians will join, will come together and we'll pray. We'll pray, we'll pray, we'll pray for something. And when God starts to manifest it, it may not be the way we expect it. When it starts to show, we start to run helter-skelter. Remember that you are the one who prayed that prayer. I remember one time we used to meet on Saturdays to pray. And we said, Lord, everything that was foundational problem with the church, that God, you correct it. Because we knew we could not go anywhere except we had a proper foundation. Because a lot of things were happening then. Why did we pray that prayer? Within 2 to 3 weeks, the whole church was upside down. We started praying again, running around. You know, panicking. Why are some people leaving? What is happening? But you are the one who prayed that God should write the wrong foundation. Huh? When God starts to answer some prayers, it may not be convenient. I hope we know that. So be careful when you pray. He may not do it exactly the way you think he will do it, because he will go beyond what you expect. But when you pray, expect answer. Expect what? Answer. We can read Mark 11:22-26. He said we should pray without doing what? Without doubting. And when you don't doubt, whatever you pray for, you will get. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Okay, please, can we rise up and pray? Can we just thank God for his word this morning? I want to believe, just tell God, Father, I've heard about prayer again today. Let this change my prayer life for good in Jesus' name. Let this change my prayer life for good in the mighty name of Jesus. I've heard about prayer once again. Change my prayer life for good. Promote me in the area of my prayer life. Lift me up in the area of my prayer life. Change me for good in the area of my prayer life. Lord, I don't want to be slothful anymore in praying to you. I don't want to be slothful anymore in seeking your face. It is when I want to pray that I feel sleepy. It is when I want to pray that I start to feel discouraged. Lord Jesus, change my prayer life, because the effective fervent prayer of the righteous avail much. I want to have impact in the kingdom. Change my prayer life, oh Lord. Empower me afresh to pray. Empower me afresh, because I know you are waiting for my prayer. You are waiting for my sacrifice. Heaven is waiting. Your ears are open. You want to hear my voice. Empower me afresh, Lord. Empower me afresh, oh Jesus. Empower me afresh, oh Lord, to call upon your name more than ever before. I cannot pray by myself. I need the Holy Spirit. For I know not what to pray, but the Spirit helped my infirmity. Holy Spirit of God, help me to pray. Help me to understand the mind of God, to pray according to the mind of God. From today, change my prayer life. Change my prayer life for good in the mighty name of Jesus. Turn around my prayer life such that my prayer life will never be the same again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. It's been spoken as you have sent me. And my prayer, O Lord, is that everyone who has heard me this morning will witness revival in their prayer lives in Jesus' name. Your children will begin to pray prayers that will move mountains, prayer that will fill valleys, prayer that will displease the host of the enemy, prayer that will bring victory to their lives, prayer that will bring success and prosperity into the lives of your people. From today, in Jesus' name, the mouths are anointed for excellence. The mouths are anointed to be acceptable unto the Lord, so that when you call upon the name of the Lord, he will hear you. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.